This is a funny reading, because you start the reading halfway through a conversation. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you go back into that reading and look at the beginning of it, it's Jesus is actually at a supper. And he's there and he's having discussions. And this comes in there. There's that triggered a response from one of the guests, because they were talking about something. Because they're talking about a great feast. How fortunate the one who gets to eat the dinner in God's kingdom. Jesus followed up and said, yes, there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servants and to the invited guests, saying, come in, the food on the table. Then they all began to, it's a funny word this, but it means back off. In other words, and find excuses. One after another making excuses. The first said, I brought a piece of property and I need to look it over it. So I said, my regrets. Another said, I brought 5 team of oxen and I really need to check them out to see how they go. And he sends his regrets. Yet another said, you know, I just got married and I need to be home with my wife. Some people would say, I need to be away from my wife. But I mean, he says, I need to be with my wife. The servant went back and told the master what happened. He was outraged and told the servant, quickly, go out into the city streets and alleys, collect all who look like they need a good square meal, all the misfits, the homeless and the down and outs, and you can lay your hands on and bring them in here. After he'd done that, the servant reported back, master, I did what you commanded, and there's still room here. Then go into the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of the original invitees is going to get as much as a bite at my dinner party. Wow. Okay.
Thanks, John. I don't know if you're a fan of Willie Nelson. Any Willie Nelson fans? Awesome. We're about to watch a Willie Nelson song. It's called Living in the Promised Land. It's really, really touched me this week. I reckon I've listened to it about 30 times. I just put it on replay in my playlist as I'm going. So we're going to play it. It's about 3 minutes long, and I'm going to have the words come up as it plays as well. And I want you, as you listen to the song, think of this question. What does this song say to you about the kingdom of God? It's not written about the kingdom of God, but what do you think it says about the kingdom of God?
Give us your tired and weak, and we will make them strong. Bring us your foreign songs, and we will sing along. Leave us your broken dreams, we'll give them time to mend. There's still a lot of love living in the promised land. Living in the promised land. Our dreams are made of steel, the prayer shifting sand and room for everyone. Living in the promised land. So they came from a distant isle, nameless woman, faithless child, like a bad dream. Until there was no room at home, no place to run, no place to fall. Give us your daily bread, we have no shoes to wear, no place to call our home, only this cross to bear. We are the multitudes, lend us a helping hand. Is there no love? Living in the promised land. everyone,
living in a promised land,
and room for everyone,
living in a promised land.
My technology's broken, so they're going to play the sermon from the back. And when they bring up the words, it's their DNA one. Can you just bring up the one with the words of the song on it? So what were some of the words that really meant something to you, that you think said something about the kingdom of God as you were listening to that? Plenty of room? Yep. I probably highlighted that all the way through, so that worked. Yep. Anything else that strikes you about the kingdom of God?
I think where it says going through the sin and sin, which is the temptations and the troubles we go through in life, regardless of who you are or what you've done, this commemorative.
Yep. Yeah, so this crossing the shifting sands. Life really is like that, isn't it? We think we've got it sorted out, and then life just kind of comes at us and it's shifting all the time. Anything else that kind of struck you? So people come from many, many different lands and often really deprived places, and they come to a place like Australia or America, and it really looks like the promised land. One of the things that I love about songs like this, C.S. Lewis would say that songs like this and stories that we have are images of what is true in heaven. We see something now that points us to a deeper truth. And when people are seeking their promised land in this world, we know that you'll never get there, but it points to a bigger promise of the promised land that is to come. And one of the things that really struck me about this song is the fact that we, the church, ought to be the promised land that people look to say, I wish I had what they had there. In the beginning of the Bible reading, it says, when one of those at the table with him said that, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who eats in the feast of the kingdom of God. Well, the message one we had was, how fortunate. I wonder how fortunate we actually feel. Have we got an experience of God that we wish other people had? So let me just ask you, what are some of the experiences that you've had of God that you wish other people had that same experience? It's a tough one, isn't it, Kath? Yep.
Since my baptism, coming to Christ and knowing the body of Christ, the feeling of connection with others, but also this strange deep feeling of the longing as you walk in public and compelled to stop. It's like a spiritual feeling to stop and to talk to people. And so that's generally not in your nature. And knowing that, and you're not really sure where it's come from, and you're double questioning, and you're discerning whether, but you go through with it, and there's always an outcome positive to that person as well.
So firstly, you feel connected, and you have, yeah.
Spiritual intuition that I never used to have, to show empathy, compassion, love, and care for people of all different walks.
And I can definitely testify that, having a compassion for people that you don't have in your own nature.
It also puts you in positions, sometimes that actually you really have to step out of your comfort zone. I've only been at accident sites. You know, I've been going, and God has utilised me in ways that I love other people.
So, brilliant, yeah, so that real connection, yep.
34 years ago this month, I had my last drink, and it was God that jumped in and got me sober. And I've been sober ever since. I wish everybody who's got a problem with the world and the drugs got the same.
so that that experience of sobriety, whether it's alcohol or drugs or any other addiction, if you've had that experience of freedom that comes from that, that's an experience that you wish other people have had. Yeah. What are some of the other experiences?
I think as a Christian, it's the benefits of faith and knowing whatever this life gives us, there's going to be a better life.
It's a better life to come, yeah.
So there's no fear.
Yep.
And that's what I think if everybody had that, it would change.
Yep. To live without fear about what is coming. To have a deeper sense now of peace, but also of a peace that is to come as well. A beautiful experience. Yeah, what about some of I've got to say, one of my big ones, I'll come back to you in just a second, is that as a Christian, I'm so much nicer than I'd ever be by myself. I just, this evilness rears up in me so often, and I kind of go, I'm so glad I've got God, which dampens some of those things in me.
An immediate thing, but a gradually developing thing, so that you can see what's behind things that are happening in the world, where things are headed. You can see how the enemy works in people and through governments and all sorts of things, so that you're more aware, and then there's this gradual growing sense of more what you can do about that, or what the church can do about that.
Somebody once gave, they tell that illustration of looking at the back of a tapestry. And you look at the back and there's all those pieces going everywhere, but when you turn it over, you can see the picture. And Christians, I think, get to look at the picture, not just the mess on the back. We suddenly see a bigger picture or a deeper picture or a spirituality that's happening beneath things. And I think sometimes we forget that which God has given us. Sometimes we get so used to it, we forget the experience that we have in the church or as people who follow God. The next part of Scripture says, Jesus followed up, "Yes, for there was once a man who threw a great party and invited many. When it was time for the dinner, he sent his servant and the invited guests, saying, 'Come on in, the food's on the table.'" What does inviting other people mean for you? How do you invite? I mean, Linda and I have mentioned before that we're part of Kiva, which gives money to the third world. Over the years, we've given about $20,000 to that. It gets given back and gets re-lent out. So in actual fact, that money has been used. I think it's about $100,000 of loans has happened because of the investment that we've given. But it's one of the ways that we believe we're sowing into the world to say, come and join the party. Now, we have been blessed with wealth and income in a country like Australia. Why can't I invite other people to share at least some of that? So I see giving of our income to the poor as part of me inviting other people in. What are some of the other ways that people, you feel like you invite people into this party of the kingdom of God? Kath?
Through believing unbelievable, you gain a self-presence of, you have to change in yourself to be able to invite others. Yep. So you just shining and how you live can invite others.
So the way you live invites other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And then absolutely. It's just opening up to them.
Brilliant. Yep. Other ways in which you invite people into the party of the kingdom of God that you've experienced. So how, do you feel like you are able to invite people who are a bit different?
Yes.
Yep.
And I've sort of got to know a group of very different people, and they are just so amazing. In fact, one of them has won the Citizen of the Year. Jacaranda has won the Woman Citizen of the Year for his contribution into the mental health program, and he is totally different. He's 14 years old, and he's raised so much money for other people. amazing.
Building relationships with people who are maybe a bit different is a way of inviting them into connection, inviting them into the kingdom. What are other things that people do to invite?
I try to share my story with other people so that they might get the same blessings that I got.
Sharing your story. Telling your story, I think, is one of the most important things. Who invites people to their places for meals sometimes? I know you guys get to be at your place the last week. Yeah, that's you're inviting people in. I know we've had young people come and live with us at times when we had a particular child who was struggling in another family and they came and lived with us for a couple of weeks and just said, inviting them into a safe place. Because some people have never experienced that. We were talking this week about how people who have had experience of domestic violence or whatever, in their head they go, this is normal. And they never get invited into another space where they see a husband and wife treat each other with respect, or parents or kids who love and care for one another. I know often the thing that we've had when people see our family relate is that they say that is the thing that speaks to them the most, because we have respect and honour for each other. Not everybody has that experience. So when you invite people into your home or for a meal or whatever it is, you're inviting them in to the kingdom of God. What does this image say to you? Does somebody come to your mind when you think about that? There are people who are just beaten down by life. Could be financially, it could be emotionally, it could be mental health, it could be physically. There are lots of things that beat people down. And are we the space that invites them in? See, sometimes we spiritualise this too much. We say it's about bringing them to church. Church is a part of that. But our lives are so much bigger than church. Our lives are much bigger, and are we inviting people into that space? What about this image? Do you know somebody who maybe feels like that? Is there an opportunity to invite that person in, or the other way? Yes, that's true. Yeah, it could go either way. A little bit later on, it says this. They all began to beg off, one after another, making excuses. The first said, I brought a piece of property, I need to look after it, send my regrets. Another said, I brought 5 teams of oxen and I really need to check them out, I send my regrets. And yet another said, I've just got married and I need to get home to my wife. This guy who I cannot pronounce said this, uninterested people wear the crown of excuses. And I think some of us have people in our lives who we need to let go. Sometimes we are so concerned about certain people that we reach out to them, but there is actually a biblical principle that says don't fight with people. Don't argue with people. If they're making excuses, let them go. Move on. God does his work in God's time, and you've got to work with the Spirit of God as God works. It says this, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. This is in Luke 10. And there's the principle of what is called the man of peace. Through your life, you talk, maybe you share your testimony about not drinking, or you share something, or you invite somebody in, and if they make excuses, just move on. Look for the person who is open to the Spirit of God at that time. Says, if someone promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them, if not, return to you. Stay there eating and drinking. So for the person who responds, stay with them. For the person who rejects, another point the Bible says, shake the dust off your feet and move on. It is not our job to argue people into the kingdom of heaven. It is the Spirit of God. But we have to be attuned to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. To see the work where maybe we speak a word and they respond, to work with that. And that takes a lot of pressure off. It's not a sales job. It's an inviting job to say, we're experiencing something, would you like to join us? If they say no, just keep praying for them, but just move on. Don't get into an argument about that. Carries on. The servant went back and told the master what happened. He was outraged and told the servant, quickly go into the city streets and alleys, collect those who look like they need a square meal. All the misfits, I love that word, all the misfits and the homeless and the down and outs, you can lay them your hands on and bring them in. Who are the misfits? I've got to say, I feel like a misfit. I don't know if you're that kind of person. I often feel like a round peg in a square hole. And I've got, must admit, I grew up as a pretty angry, violent, drinking, hard kind of young man. And I would have been deemed as one of the misfits, which I think is something about the grace of God. Somebody asked me the other day, why are you a minister? I said, I couldn't help it. I was called. God called me. And C.S. Lewis talks about him being the most reluctant Christian in all of England, because he felt like God grabbed him by the back of the neck and dragged him in. And it wasn't that he was making excuses, he just didn't want to go there in the first place, but as soon as he saw the kingdom of God, there was something that resonated with him. Who are the misfits? Who are the ones that are going to make life awkward for us? Who are the smelly ones or the hungry ones or the ones that curse and the ones that do all the things that are not Christian who ought to be here? Because that's what it means to be in the kingdom of God. I love this quote. Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. It really is having this humility to say, I'm a beggar who struggles with life. And I know this group of people who accept me as a beggar who want to journey that way as well. Would you like to join that kind of community? Let me just finish with this kind of, or two more slides. These are some of the things that you might be looking for as you're looking for the misfits and the hungry and the whatever the needs. Do they have a physical need? Are you willing to step up and say, would you like me to pray for you about that? That is not to say we don't send them to the doctor and the surgeon and do all the medical stuff, but there is a point where as a Christian, maybe you just need to stand up and say, would you like me to pray for you about that? Have they got mental health needs? Do you need to invite them into the peace of Jesus? Are they spiritually searching? Are they lonely? Are they dealing with guilt? Do they have relationship needs? These are all needs that all of us experience, but these are the needs that are the opening door where maybe we need the courage to walk in. I want to finish with this image here. Where's Waldo? There's not a chance you're going to find him in there. He's pretty small. But there's a Waldo in your life. And the Bible says that there's a Waldo in your life that only you can reach. There is nobody else on the planet who is positioned in that person's life in the way that you are positioned. They make excuses, move on, but begin to pray for them and find the Waldos and invite them. And let me leave you with this thought. If you don't have an experience of Jesus that you want to invite people to, deal with that first before you invite anybody else in, because you want to invite somebody into an experience of Jesus. Lord God, thank you for your grace at work in our lives. Thank you that you call us the misfits, the ones who don't fit in, and yet you've called us into this wonderful family, and that we get to be a people who celebrate being part of the family that meets in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we are going to light a birthday cake. Have we only got five candles? Shush, no, no. It makes us feel young, okay? Okay. As we...
Yeah. I couldn't find them. And then I thought maybe Beth could blow it out as the most long-standing member. All right, let's stand and sing our closing song. We've got 10,000 reasons to bless our Lord and God and thank him for all that he's done for us.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. Time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing where the evening comes. Bless the Lord. Still my soul will sing your praise.